Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Welcome to Goalie Science, the podcast that bridges the gap between goaltending, science, and peak performance. I'm your host, Jamie Phillips, a former professional goalie, currently pursuing a doctorate in physical therapy and specializing in goalie performance coaching. Joining me as always is Dr. Ben Cernik, a seasoned goalie coach and sports analytics specialist. Whether you find yourself at home, on the road, or at the rink, grab a cup of your favorite beverage and let's drop the puck on this week's episode. All right, welcome to Goalie Science. I'm here with Janne, Janne Laine. So Janne and I met each other this past summer in Finland, working at the EGM camp. And I don't want to get into a long-winded discussion. I'll let you do that yourself. So Janne, thanks for joining the Goalie Science podcast. Introduce yourself. Let the people know who you are, where you coach, what you do.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jamie. So my name is Janne. I'm from Helsinki, Finland, or nowadays I live in Espoo, the suburbs here. And I work as a goalie coach for IFK Helsinki. And my duty there is a development goalie coach. So I mainly work with the U20 and U18 goalies. And the goal is, of course, to develop the young guys to our Liiga team, so the men's team. So that's the main progress there, and develop the goalies all around. And I've been coaching since 2009. So it's my actually 10th season for IFK Helsinki. Not actually in this task. So I used to work with the younger guys in the beginning, and with our kind of like cooperation teams there. And before that I studied sports health science in the University of Jyväskylä. That's the only place in Finland you can actually study sports in the actual university. So that's my like degree for coaching or teaching.
Hey, no, that's good to hear. It's always nice to, you know, it's a different world. And then we've talked about on the podcast before how in North America, you know, like anyone can just start coaching. But in Europe, oftentimes, I mean, anyone can start coaching, but to move up the ranks, often that higher education of coaching or some sort of health science background is often required. So before we get into your coaching career and your role at HIFK, tell us a little about your playing career growing up. Like, when did you start being a goalie? Like, what was your development like? Where did you play? Where did you finish?
Yeah, so I fell in love with goaltending in the 1990s, and back then we used to have an NHL Power Week program here in Finland. So they send, it was every Saturday morning, so they send the program. So it was basically like highlight show from every week's NHL clips. And there were the 90s goalies like Felix Potvin and Bart Sambrador, Patrick Roy, Hašek, of course. And I watched those clips every Saturday morning, and then I went out to play street hockey with my brother and buddies. And I always wanted to be a goalie, but when I started hockey, I was eight, I think, so I never went to a hockey school. So normally in Finland, kids go to hockey school when they're 4 to 6 years old. But my dad said to me that I learn you to skate. So if you want to go to the team straight, it's possible. But when I joined the team, I was actually a team in first place because we all already had two goalies. So I had to wait one season to become a goalie. And I was kind of like rough and edgy demon. So I was in the penalty box all the time sitting around because in Finland, you cannot hit or throw body checks in the first years you're playing. So it's in the later, perhaps, I'm not sure, but maybe when you're 10 or 12 years old, you can throw body checks. So in Finland, back in the days, you couldn't throw the hits. And I was rather big guy throwing the hits because I think that was the best being a demon. Then I ended up in the penalty box all the time, and it wasn't so fun. But then I got the chance to play goalie, and in the next house to us, there was a former goalie who had played minor pro hockey in Finland, and he promised to be my goalie coach. So right when I started, I was rather like tall kid, so I got goalie coaching from the guy living next to us. So that was first match. Then I played here in the Helsinki area, and then I joined when I was 14 or 13 or 14, the Helsinki team. So that's one of the biggest organization, most traditional ones in Finland. So I got the goalie coaching education from there. Then later I got cut when I was like 16 or 17, maybe earlier, 16 maybe. And then I still tried to go towards like the better leagues, like the junior leagues and like professionalism. But then sometimes at high school I thought the lack of passion in training and that kind of it was some kind of phase then, and I didn't care so much about training and all kind of that stuff. And then I focused maybe more on studying and thinking what I want to do with my future. And then when I was 19, I still decided to play a little lower level in the U20. I think it was second division, and then I went already studied sports actually to Viarmäki Sports Institute of Finland. So there is a hockey line and the base plan. I went to the base plan, but there were actually a lot of North American guys at the hockey line, the degree program of sports and leisure management there. So we had a hockey team at the campus, and I still played in Helsinki area. Yeah, and then as an adult, I still play minor hockey, second and third division in Finland. So I still go out and play twice a week. So I think that's the best part. The coaching is the second best, but I really enjoy being between the pipes and putting the mask on and taking the puck. So I think that's still my passion.
I'm glad to hear you still have the passion. A few questions on what you said. The first, what is the what's a hockey school for kids? You said kids usually go to hockey school four or five.
Yeah.
What's the difference between that and then just the normal public elementary school?
Hockey school. But I mean by hockey school I meant that it's a hockey tryout. Mm. That the different organizations they have it's called hockey school here, but it doesn't have anything to do with the actual school. So it's learning basic hockey skills when you're at really young age. So it usually goes so that the organizations or the teams are in every area in Finland or every small town or part of the towns. So they have their own club, hockey club. And then when you're 4 to 6, the parents, they can put the kids to learn to skate and to learn to play. And there are often 40 to 50 kids. And then after you have done the basic hockey stuff, they start to build up teams, when the kids are 7 to 8 year olds usually. So I never went to that, like the first phase where you kind of like learn to skate and the parents can be on the ice helping the kids. So I joined the team right away. But that's pretty good. Like, I think it's a good like thing to involve many kids to the sport because it's really cheap to put your kid to the, for example, to the fall semester or the spring semester of that hockey school, so-called hockey school, learning the basics and the skating. And the amounts are huge. So it's 30 to 60, even 70 kids, some organizations like 4 to 6 year olds who learn the basics of the game and they have the potential to join a team. So I think it's a pretty good system here to get the kids, the really young kids around the game.
Okay, yeah, I know that makes sense. I misunderstood because like here, now there's more and more like we're calling like sport academies or hockey academies that are popping up. Typically, they're more private schools where there is a large financial investment in it, and it's tends to be more like online school with like a lot of hockey training. So I wasn't sure, does something like that exist in Finland, or is it more, you know, is it more of that like your local town club kind of development?
It's more like local town club development. And then when you go to high school, then there are like sports high schools. So in sport high school, you can like you choose your sport first, that if it's soccer or swimming or whatever, or hockey. And then you kind of like get the course, that high school course, when you participate in team practices in the mornings. But not in the elementary school or upper secondary, there isn't such a thing that is focused only or mainly in hockey. So it's like, of course, there are sport lines, or there can be like hockey line upper secondary school too, that they have like morning practices twice a week.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, going back to NHL Power Hour there, were you always in...
NHL Power Week.
NHL Power Week. Were you like biased to Finnish goalies, or who was like your favorite goalie growing up?
No, actually that's a weird thing, because back in the days in the 1990s, we had a lot of good, like I had a lot of idol goalies in Finland too, and we had a lot of like really good goalies here, but none of them played in the NHL. Actually, Jarmo Myllys, he played in the Minnesota North Stars or San Jose Sharks, maybe in the early 90s, but he didn't like break through as a star never. And then we didn't have any Finnish goalies back then. And it was then in the like early 2000s when Pasi Nurminen and Kiprusoff and that kind of goalies, they broke through in the North America. But in the 90s, it was just the Canadian goalies, actually, like Felix Potsvin and brother Eddie Belfour. They were my heroes. Actually, I have my new helmet. It's not in the shop now because I'm still using it. So I have like those three Canadian goalies. I'm half still the other side painted because they were my child idols. And I was always wondering as a kid that would Finnish goalie make it to the NHL someday? And then I was maybe in high school when Kari Lehtonen played in Atlanta. So he was really high draft back in the 2001 or 2002. So then we got a little bit of hope that the next generation is going to go to the NHL, and then later to Karask and Pekka Rinne and those guys. So, but it took time. It took time. And I was always like dreaming of like a Finnish starter as a Finnish young goalie, that there would be a Finnish starting goalie in the NHL one day. Then it happened in the 2000s.
Yeah, that it seems like there was in that mid 2000s time, there was an influx of Finnish goalies. And I remember reading like all the articles. I don't know if you ever had like Goalies World magazine over there.
Yeah,
I remember one. They always talk about like Finnish hands and all these things. But like what do you think was the big like catalyst and the spark for that boom of Finnish goalies that we don't really see as much now, but it was really big back in the 2000s.
Yeah, actually, I have to take back a little bit, because Goalies World magazine, we didn't have that magazine in Finland, but my grandmother lives in Sweden, in Stockholm, Sweden. And there was one bookshop that was selling Goalies World magazine. And my grandmom always went to the shop and she bought the Goalies World magazine to me in the late 90s. And then when I visited her in Stockholm, I get the great present, the Goalies World magazine. And that, I thought that was the best magazine ever. I still have those.
I know, I still have stacks of them.
Yeah, they were the best and all the posters. And actually, there were some coaching teams too, I think. Yeah, but the X Factor Finnish goalies, or what made it happen that they went to the NHL? I think the goalie coaching, like Finns started it quite early, like goalie coaching. I think in the 1980s, in the beginning of the 80s, it was already pretty systematic stuff here in Finland. And I remember when I started mid 90s, I had a goalie coach right from the get go. Of course, it was the guy next to me who was like a goalie who wanted to help me, but still in the other teams, they had goalie coaches. So I think that sooner or later, that habit of coaching young guys really systematically, and it was like every team almost, like a junior team, had own goalie coach, like a volunteer one. So I think it's the system, like that it was so systematic then, and then the results came a little bit later than in the early 2000s or the mid 2000s. So that's, I think it's the main reason maybe.
Now, we had talked about this a little bit in the summer, and
yeah,
you know, like in North America, for the most part, between Hockey Canada, Hockey USA, it's a very decentralized system where most clubs don't have a full-time goalie coach. Very few of them do. Actually, I can't name any that do in terms of minor hockey, of course. And then
yeah,
if they have a goalie coach, it's a privately contracted person. And almost, or in all goalie training is like privately done. So the parents and the goalies have to reach out to coaches individually. Now, what is the system of goalie development like nationally? Because I know that there are meetups and it's a lot more centralized than we have it. So can you give us the best, you know, explanation of how that works for a young goalie?
I think it works well, and I think it's really, really cool. For example, in our organization, so there is the IFK Helsinki, like the main team, the big organization, the Helsinki organization, but then we have like those smaller suburb teams or organizations under us, and they get all the like education from us, from the big team. But there are like a lot of goalie coaches, and I think that their salaries, like just counted that the like monthly payment for the whole team is some euros more to get the goalie coach for the goalies. So I think that's pretty smart system here. And of course, they are not like huge amounts of money, and mainly the goalie coaches go to a daytime work, and then they come to the rinks like three times a week nights, you know. But I think the system is really well, and we have a lot of those goalie coaches. And then we have the like different kind of seminars and lectures and stuff like once in every 2 months in our organization. As the goalie coaches, they like work together and discuss with each other and get the ideas from each other. And sometimes like different goalie coaches go to watch like different goalies of different coaches. So I think it's really good. So you get the ideas oftentimes from other coaches and other goalies too. So I think the community type thinking here. So the goalies get a lot of benefit from that too. So they have like different voices also at a young age follow, and different ideas, a lot of ideas.
So for you, who is the director, you know, of goalie development for U20 and below, how does the system in HIFK work? Like, so someone is above you, and then there's you, and then you oversee other people?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, we have three full-time goalie coaches in our organization. And now the trend has been that there are more and more organizations in Finland, like the Liiga. Liiga is the top league, the like top men's league in Finland. It's called Liiga. So there are already, I think, four or five Liiga organizations who have like three full-time goalie coaches. And usually it's the men's team's goalie coach, then the U20 or U18, like the high school morning academy, which we have. And then that goalie coach works as a development goalie coach role more. And then there is one goalie coach full-time who is in charge of the youngsters, like from U8 to U15, U16, when the first national team tryout starts. So, and then in addition to those three full-time goalie coaches, there are also like volunteer goalie coaches for every like midget team, or U14, U13, U12, U11 in most of the organizations. So there are a lot of guys coaching goalies. So that's the strength, I think, in our country. So there are a lot of guys involved.
How do you navigate, or how is like the communication between the levels set up? You had mentioned every 2 months you have like a meeting, but
yeah,
how does like is the communication consistent from the volunteers with each teams and up, or is it, you know, is it just that meeting you guys get together, talk a little bit, and then go your separate ways?
No, it's pretty consistent, like weekly based. So often me and the guy, so this is just the example from our organization, but I've discussed with the other coaches or other organizations or clubs here. So they prefer to work pretty similar. So we have WhatsApp group for the goalie coaches, and once a week, our younger, the goalie coach who is in charge of the younger age group, so he puts like the theme there that this is this week's theme for coaching, and we do this and this kind of drills at the goalie, as like videos and stuff. And then I can do there like from videos from our U18 or U20 games or practices, that this is the level we are training at the U18 or U20. And there are some ideas for your goalies that remember that your goalies are younger, etc. like that. But kind of like we communicate every week, and then also we meet at the goalie practice. So we have the teams, or actually the organization's goalie practice every Monday, or two different goalie practices. So the first one is for the younger kids, U13 to U8, and then the other one is from U14 to U18. So then once a week, all the goalie coaches meet at the ice and kind of like work together. So I think that is really important to know where we are at, like every week, and how do the goalies perform at the games, and how is the practicing, and then of course we borrow the goalies. So I think the goalies get benefits from that also. That almost every week some younger goalie gets to participate to the older age groups trainings, and even in the games. So I think it's really good system. And we have built that kind of atmosphere that it's really easy to go as a younger guy with the older guys, because you know the coaches and you know the goalies a little bit as well. So I think that helps too. Because then you get a little bit that extra challenge with the better shooters or with a higher tempo.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. Now, what's the system like for girls hockey and women's hockey? Is it the same goalie coaches, or are they separate? Because I know some of those clubs have women's teams as well.
Yeah, we have, yeah. Actually, it was a couple of years ago when EFK also started the women's team, and they actually won the championship this last spring. And there are a lot of like really, really good girl goalies. And actually, one of our former goalies, Sanni Ahola, is playing now NCAA. He was selected to the women's national team as well. So he plays. I don't remember her team, but he's in NCAA. Sanni Ahola. She's a really good goalie, 2000 board. But yeah, the girls participate in the goalie practices also. But then we have the women's Liga team. They have own goalie coach, and he's Jalki Virranta's brother, the NHL player. So he takes charge of the more of the girls stuff, or like women's academy and U15, U16 girls, because they kind of like in women's hockey or girls hockey here, like different age groups, there are not so many players in Finland. Mm-hmm. So they work out our practice together. So Alexi is in charge of the goalies there more, but of course I know what's happened. But it's really, really like equal for girls and boys to practice here.
What's
really is enough?
Yeah, like what's something in that you'd like to see in the current goalie model of Finland that you'd like think can be like improved, or something that you'd like to see changed?
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Yeah, of course there are a lot of things we can do better, and maybe one thing that could be better is like the game analyzing and the game feedback all the video stuff. So I think like a goalie coaching in many places is pretty traditional, that the goalie coach gets a time in the beginning and the coach is throwing the pucks to the goalie is like 10 minutes, and then the game team practice starts. So to get the goalie coaches more involved to the team practice and the actual game of hockey, like the hockey sense and winning the game and the, kind of like the playing of the game. So I think like the Finnish tradition is like the basic techniques, basic saves. So that's the groundwork where the Finnish starting goalies in the NHL were good at too, like in the saving, like you mentioned, the active hands and that kind of stuff. So maybe teaching the game, like video analyzing from the games, that kind of stuff could be improved. And then all the, like, I don't know if it's called proprioceptic and stuff, like senses, that kind of stuff. Am I correct?
I don't know.
It's English.
No,
yeah, that kind of stuff. So I'm really keen on that, and like the eye stuff and sense stuff. So that's, I think, will be the next step here, that we gotta dig on that. So I think in North America you guys are ahead of us in that department.
Do you find that change moves slow in the system, like in the national system? Like we're here in North America, I think one of the upsides to more of a decentralized model is, you know, say there's a goalie coach, you know, I don't know, in British Columbia who comes up with something, and then all of a sudden it spreads like wildfire. Do you find that that's the same in Finland, or is there more like, well, we need to slow down, make sure everything follows the proper hierarchy and protocols, or is it still pretty, if someone in, say, like, you know, like Kiko's Aspel comes up with some new technique, like how quickly does that spread into the system itself?
Of course, yeah, that's a good question. And of course, we have trends always, and the social media is big here too. Maybe not as big as in North America, maybe. Or we don't have so many like commercial coaches back here. But yeah, of course, there are trends. But Finns, we are pretty calm, and we don't get so like excited about things. So we're pretty calm, and we like think first and discuss first, that is this like good thing to teach, or what do you think about this? So it's often like that we have first like federation seminar or something, and then we kind of like digest it a little bit, like there is some new trend, and then the federation's goalie coaches, they're gonna ask like, what do you guys think, that should we put an effort on this, or is this just like American trick or North American trick, or what do you think? And so I think the trends are not spreading spreading so quickly. But of course, you gotta keep an eye on what's like current now and what's important and what's the next step in the scene all the time. But yeah, maybe we digest things a little bit more so we don't jump or change things so rapidly here.
You definitely, I can agree with the Finns being a lot more calm about everything. Now, when it comes to like, you know, going a little bit back to the, like the hockey school and stuff, what age, is there a set age that you guys have for when, you know, kids become full-time goalies, or is that dependent on the kid, the parent? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question too. And I wonder that as well, that is there a certain time or some certain phase that it's good to become a full-time goalie? But I don't know. Now we have like in our U14 team, we have two really good guys, goalies, and they are playing basketball as well in a high level. And they have split the time between the basketball and the hockey. And they have, for example, they have skipped the goalie practices on Mondays because they have got basketball practices. But I don't see like any bad things on their technical goalie technique or that kind of stuff because they go to the basketball practice instead of goalie practice. So I think the overall athleticism is the thing at the young age. And if you can play out as a skater and then you can play goalie or you can play soccer or basketball and you can like divide the time and combine all those three, that's the best option as a young age, because then you learn to play the ball games, you learn the ball game like sense, how the ball games work. And sometimes when you're out as a skater, it helps you to read the game and to know where your body is better when you're as a goalie. So I think there is no certain phase, but usually when we play here, the youngsters, the really young guys, they play with the half rink. I don't know if the small kids do that in North America, play like just at the other end of the ice and like with the half rink.
That brought me into a question I was going to ask, because my podcast co-host Ben, he's very deep in like the research side, and we compare hockey development to soccer football development. Now, in maybe the past 10 years, that small half ice model is starting to grow and it's being encouraged by Hockey Canada, Hockey USA. But I know in Ontario, there was a group of parents that were completely against it and actually started their own league where it was full ice only for young kids. Now, my bias lies where I like the half ice. I think it's really good. What are your thoughts on, you know, for younger kids, or actually, let's talk about for goalies specifically, for younger goalies, that half ice versus that full ice from a very young age and the full size net and all that, like basically playing like adults as young kids.
I was coming to the part when, we usually, when the kids go to the full ice, then our teams have like not full-time goalies, but they are more into being goalies. They can still play out, but usually there when they are, I think they are now U 11 or U 12. And actually the Federation, Finnish Hockey Federation, changed the series during the COVID time. So in the first is the half ice, but then there is a phase. I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's U11 or U12. At that age group, you have a certain amount of games at the full ring and certain amount of games with the mini ice, like the slitty ice. And I think that's the perfect match for a goalie there, because when it's the half ring, you get all the situations. Like, you really have to do the continuous movement that you need, that you're gonna be needing that well-oiled machine when you grow older. So I think for the continuing playing, the mini ice is really good for the goalies, because you have to move. You have to read. You have to be ready all the time. You have to move on the goalie stance. So I think that's really, really good, because sometimes when it's the big ice, and it's been discovered also, and there have been studies that the kind of like the how you see the space around you, it develops until you are 12 years old. So it's really hard for a younger goalie to like notice those distances on the ice when you're, because the rink is so big. So mm-hmm. you don't kind of like have a so good clue of the space around you, like the passing lanes or how far is the puck or the player when the space is so big. So that's why also I think for the little goalies skills, it's better. It's easier to read it at the Mooney Rink. And often the goalies also, they complain, yeah, it's only breakaways or automatic rushes because of course the small players, they don't realize the space there as well. So I'm a fan of the small ice, but I think the combination is the best, but if you are under 10 year old, then of course the mini ice is good, or the split ice. But then of course the nets are the safe size, so that creates a little bit of troubles there. Should the nets be smaller? I don't know.
You guys don't have smaller nets for like the U handle.
No.
Oh, so that's actually something that we have now in North America, which
Yeah,
I wish there was a third, like a middle net where like, you know, you have your That's U10 true. Net, and then you have a net to like U14, and then you have your full size net, just to just to make that jump from a small net to the 6x4 is still a lot. And I find like, you know,
that's a lot.
Soon as like some of those kids start to go through puberty, now all of a sudden the kids can shoot, and maybe the goalie hasn't grown yet, then they're just shooting at so much So that's one thing I wish, that middle size net. But going back, you had mentioned, the rule changes in the pandemic. And this is something I've discussed a lot with my goalie coach growing up. But have you noticed any negative effects to youth development from that period of time where kids weren't able to play and go on the ice and have all these things? Because I've noticed it a little bit. And talking to some other goalie coaches, they've even talked about how like these certain years, it's almost like you have to kind of wash because they've missed critical times of development. Is that something that you've come across, or has things been pretty consistent and steady in Finland?
Yeah, actually, that's good point. That during the COVID time, actually, when we started practicing again, so we had the pause here as well from the team practices or gathering, and we had a lack of goalies. So often it's like in the U10, U11, U12. In those age groups, we've had like four goalies per each team, and the teams play two different like teams inside the team. So it can be like AAA and AA team, four goalies, and the goalies circulate there, or some guys play more AAA, or some guys play AA teams. But anyway, yeah, we had a lack of goalies, and that was like because they quit playing the kids. So that was the main reason, like when the team sports ended here because the COVID paused, so some guys never came back, and that created trouble to get like goals for especially 2010 born, so 2011 born after COVID. So there was a little slump in the number of the goalies after the COVID because some goalies just never came back, and it was hard for the remaining goalies because they had to play all the games and practices to get all the shots. So and there weren't enough goalies in the practices. But I don't know. Maybe the overall like physical condition, you could see a little collapse there after the COVID time. But I think right now we are pretty much back in the normal with the younger guys.
Now, what age do you have your goalie? Like, how much training are they doing over the course of a year from like the early years? So let's just say U14 and below. And then when the kids get above that, 14, 15, 16 year old, like how many times, are they practicing? Are they, getting dry land, like goalie specific training? Like, what is that structured in a way? Is if like, how does that work? How much? Because we talk a lot about like, our goal is doing too much. Sometimes we have kids that are skating for 5 hours a day, which I think is too much. So what does that look like, for you guys? I know you can only speak in your organization, but in that development process.
I think it's really important to talk about that stuff because I'm a big believer in like versatile sports, that you do not just only hockey as a young age, that you do all kinds of sports to a certain age. It's good for the like for the game sense, the ball game sense, and the physical condition, that you stay healthy, because if you're only doing butterflies and stuff, so at the early age too much, so it's not good for your posture at the older age. I can feel it in my hips, all the butterfly repetition at the younger age. Yeah, but anyway, we practice, it's a little bit different because in North America, the goalies, they go to a goalie schools or goalie coaches, but we have the goalie coach in the practices. And usually the goalie coach is 2 to 3 times in a team practice. And he often gets like 10 to 30 minutes goalie specific time at the team practice when we're speaking like U14 or younger. And they have team practices usually 3 or 4 times a week. And then usually the goalie plays 1 or 2 games a week. So it's a lot. So there are always guys who are, because we have also like commercial coaches who have their own goalie schools. And if there is, I think that is, if there is a young guy who has the physics, like the physical condition is good, and he has the will and he wants to learn and he has the energy to go, in addition to those team practices involving his own goalie coach, if he wants to go to a commercial goalie coach, I think it's totally fine. But then there are some examples. I remember one kid, he was 14 and he skipped all the team practices, and their team had a goalie coach, but he only went 3 times a week for the commercial goalie coach. And he was like wondering why didn't he get any playing time from his actual team. And then the team tried to explain that, hey, you should be, this is a team sport. So if you're only like choosing which practice you want to go and skip the team practice, you're not going to play this team. So there are, every once in a while, there are examples like that. But in overall, it's I think here it's pretty healthy. So the goalies go to the goalie camps when there is a vacation in the summer or in the autumn, or now in the Christmas break, we have a couple of camps. But then there are the commercial coaching or that kind of like, additional coaching is pretty rare still here, because the goalie coach is in the teams. So you don't have to search the goalie coaching outside the team practices off. So that limits the times you go to the ice week. So I think it's good.
Now, for the younger kids, are they still getting the same amount of goalie attention as the older guys?
Yeah, that's been our idea, or almost the same. So of course, in our U18, U16, U20 team, like the elite teams, the goalie coach is nearly in every evening practice there, and I'm then in the morning practice U18, U20. So we try to implement the goalie coaching. Like if there is a 3 practices in the evenings in 1 week, so the goalie coach would be there 2 times. So I think there also should be like one practice or even 2 practices a week that there isn't any goalie coach. So the goalie has to like think and survive by himself and develop his head and at that he doesn't get used to that somebody is telling him what to do all the time, because you know, as a goalie, you have to make your own decisions and you have to carry the mental load as well. So our combination has been like, have 3 practices a week. If you're like U12 or U14 goalie, then the goalie coach is at there twice a week. So 1 practice without a goalie coach. But then in the U18, U16, U20, it's like almost in every practice and every games. And I think also in the away games, it's a good system that the goalie coach doesn't travel with the team, because then it's like 50-50 that you get the feedback. You get the ideas from the goalie coach, and then you also have those games. You have to struggle. You have to battle on your own and trust your own mind and your own game. You don't get the goalie coach is not there to help sometimes, because in the end, as a goalie, sometimes it's pretty lonely place to be, and you have to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, no, I get that for sure. Now, you've been coaching for a while, 2009, so going. I'm not a good math guy, so looking at around 15-ish years, have you noticed any changes
in the way kids learn now versus the way it kind of was when you started?
Yeah, I'm noticed, and I'm kind of like from that world too, from the academic world, because I did my studies and we had a lot of like paperwork and stuff back then, because back then we didn't study with the iPads or sometimes even not with the computers. We had only books and stuff in the 2000s. So back in the days, I remember when I started coaching, I had a lot of like material, like pictures and papers and stuff. And I sometimes I printed those for the goalies. And then at some point in the early 2010s, I realized that maybe the papers, like they were just on the shelf. So nobody never read those papers. I printed them. And then at the same time, like YouTube blow out and everything happened, like the video stuff started to grow up. So then I started to put the more effort on the videos. And actually that time, a couple of years later, 2015, we started our YouTube channel and this loop box, which means former prospects. Actually, we never get to the phase that you could call us prospects, me and Rolf, my buddy. So really young prospects. But it's kind of like joke. But yeah, the video, that's the thing nowadays. So short video, like if you have a drill, so it must be like edited, like all the necessary stuff, and the video lasts like 30 seconds. Then the kids will watch it. But I used to make videos too that I think they were really good, like full of information, full of like angles and stuff, and they lasted like 10 minutes, and I thought, yeah, 10 minutes, that's a short one. But then when I watched the analytics, so the kids had just watched like first 2 minutes of those 10-minute videos. Then like, I think the trend is like concentrations, because there is TikTok and all this kind of stuff nowadays. So the concentration of the kids is like shorter and shorter. So as a coach, also the instruction and all that kind of stuff. So you really have to pay attention that you have all the vital stuff quickly and shortly, and then we go do things. And same in the teaching material.
It's actually funny that you say that, because I've noticed that too, where like in my EGM group, my remote goalies, like I have hours and hours of video where like I put so much time and effort and like,
yeah,
minutes, this is great. But the ones that resonate the most and get the best feedback are like quick 30 seconds, no more than 2 minutes, like bang, bang, bang. And which is also why like my Instagram things like do so well is because I'm like, okay, let's keep it concise. Like I love to talk and I can overanalyze and over explain, but it's like it's a hard thing for me to like distill it into something super specific. I've noticed that too with like young kids. It's like nowadays is everything has to be straight to the point, direct, and then you have to go do it immediately.
That's true.
You can't let them like digest it as much. Like I want them to sit there and to think and understand, but I find that it's actually more beneficial just like, let's just do it and then fix it.
Yeah,
do it and fix it. So you're involved well with the like the Finnish national team and their junior hockey. What's the biggest difference, or like what's the biggest challenge you have when you have to take your goalies and go from European ice to North American sides ice? Is that something that you're directly involved with? Is it more of, all right, figure it out? Like, how do you break that down? Because I've had to do that both sides, like taking goalies and sending them to Europe with myself, and then taking some European guys and then bringing them over, like Vernon, and to like being able to adjust him when we got him at Tech and those kind of things.
Yeah, that's funny because I've been to States and actually now finally to Canada last summer, because my wife's godmother lives in British Columbia. So I finally visited Canada, which was on my bucket list, but I've never coached there. So I work with the Finnish U16, U17 and U18 national teams. So I was with the 2004 boys, straight from the beginning, that 3 year period there. But we it was the COVID time when we had the World Hockey Challenge and it was canceled. So it's been pretty funny because I've never played in the North American rink, or actually I played in that size rink here in Finland myself too, because some of Greece are North American size. But I've never coached there or played myself there overseas. But then I've had a lot of guys who have went to tournaments or to college or that kind of stuff. So it's been interesting to discover and pay attention without that knowledge that what would be like the most important things. So maybe like the angles and then some like movements when you continue to play, then instead of like recovering with your feet, that you have to turn to the slide and turn inside to the post, because the place they come quicker from the boards, from the corners. So especially those side plays when they come from the side, the attacks or the shots, and the rebound comes like quickly to the corner, that you turn yourself like quickly to the RVH, because the distances are shorter and the angles are sharper. So that kind of plays, and overall like the box control, that you first set yourself on the line, and then if you have the time, then you can like push it and challenge, take the free space away a little bit more, because here in the bigger ring the distances are bigger, so you can play a little bit more out in certain situation as well, and you can be a little bit more active. And actually this year we got a goalie from USHL, so he's now with the Slovakia national team at the World Juniors, so I could see with him the process this year has been like to build up that skating and activity at the kind of like courage to trust your feet and trust your movement all the time. So not going too early deep and to the posts, because you have the time, because he was in USHL and it was this typical story that they didn't have own goalie coach at the team. So he was only getting video feedback and that kind of stuff. But now when we work every day, so we can adjust those little stuff in his game every day. So it's been interesting.
Good. So we're getting close to the end. I have a few final questions here. I want to kind of rapid fire them off. Some goalie wise and then some music, because I know we share similar taste in music. But the first one is, what was your first set of pads?
My first set of pads, they were awful, those pads. They were it's a Finnish brand called Pallas. And we had a goalie in Finland, Markus Ketterer. So he played in Buffalo Sabres in the early 90s, I think so. So, and Rochester, America. So he played actually in North America. But those were similar pads to Markus Ketterer pads. And I remember that I didn't have straps because they were so old, those pads. So I had like leather belts. Like they went like around my calves. And the materials of the belts and of the overall pads, when they got wet, so they waited a ton. So maybe that's why I got like straight, strong legs right in the beginning. They were awful. But then after that, I got Edge or Eddie. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Eddie or Edge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Those were Canadian ones.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, what has there been something that you've used or seen other goalie use when it comes to like equipment modifications that you're like, I think I want all my goalies to do this?
Maybe the recent ones, I think one good thing is like when it's the toe lace, like the lace there, in the toe bridge, that you put the hockey tape there, like when you have the like the height there when you need the skate to the post, or actually the pad to the post, or the toe section to the post. So we like to play the lace to the post. So one of our Liga team's goalie, the men's team's goalie, so he used the hockey tape and it was like really stiff, but it still bounced a little bit. So that I wanted, it's like all our junior goalies, like the older guys, they really liked it. And then it's like really firm, that you can trust that setup in the game and practice, that it doesn't like go off, because pretty often it can be a little bit shaky when you get the lay stuff. And the other stuff also last year was the paddle wedge, stuff that you don't get hit in the fingers. So our U20 goalies, they were really happy about that. And the third one is the Kova neck guard. That's the best Finnish one. So no collarbone hits. So I got that one. And I wanted all our junior goalies and that. Actually, our U20 and U18. So that's the best for, it's a little bit Finnish thing, Kova neck guard. Actually, NHLers are using it too.
So two more questions. The next one would be for you. Top three bands on your most played right now.
Right now, actually we had the new single coming out this November. So I think my own band.
Yeah. They give you the shout out. What's your band? Yeah. For them, and where can they find you?
Yeah. It's the way the new name is where. IKAB, because it's I kill the bee, so it's like inside joke, and it's really wrong metal name, like I kill the bee. But yeah, IKAB is the shortening of that. So yeah, it's like modern metal, like metalcore and new metal stuff. So we share that with Jamie. But recently, the new Polaris album is pretty good. It's pretty good, and they are actually coming to Finland to this spring. So that one for sure. Then actually, I like the new positive Beartooth album.
Yeah.
So I think that's pretty, that was like positive metal, but positive breakdowns. So those two would be my picks, and the third one. If I don't know, my most listened band in Spotify rap was Ice Nine Kills last year, so like horror stuff. So maybe I put that one there from 2023, or Lorna Shore.
Yeah,
like little bit more brutal stuff. But yeah, metal for life.
Yeah, metal for life. I get or mine. So I think what's my top right now? So Polaris was my most played. But I kind of listened to them so much that I had to take a break. Right now, yeah. My top bands are probably like Paleface Swiss. So like,
yeah, really heavy. That's hardcore. Yeah,
yeah.
That's
hardcore. So really heavy, and a band called Casey, which is more of that like sad and loud. I went and they actually played in Grand Rapids, so I saw them, and then you can't go wrong with Bring Me the Horizon. You just can't.
No, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, nowadays it splits opinions a little bit with that, like old school, because many metalheads are like gatekeeper.
Yeah.
So, but I like developing stuff in sports and music too, like new trends. So it's interesting.
I gotta say, I think that third one is probably the Devil Wears Prada. I've been really into their newer stuff.
Yeah, the new record is good. Yeah, really? That's good. Like, yeah. Yeah. Do you have like a lot of metalheads watching or listening?
I don't know. I don't think so. My podcast co-host will listen a bit, usually when he's working out. I don't know. I've never asked the audience. I know like in Finland it's the stereotype to be super like I know a few Finnish people and all of them love metal. So it's the stereotype's paying true. It's not so much here. I'm more on an island myself, but every now and then, like on Instagram, I get a lot of people that will send me music suggestions. So I think, I don't know if it's a woolly thing or metal is just bigger than I thought, but they're out there.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, yeah. The last question I can give you. So like what, if you could give one piece of advice to A, your younger self, and then to B, to young goalies out there, what would that advice be?
I would give the same advice to both. That be patient, be willing to work hard, and trust your own vision or goals. That don't have like second doubts or second thoughts. So kind of like to have the trust, the strong trust of your process or stuff. But especially the patience. So I'm nowadays teaching like the process thinking and like that. We don't focus on the results. The younger me was like pretty anxious to go ahead and maybe sometimes I skip the work, but I learned that at the older age. And nowadays I'm really I like to say that I'm a hard worker. I'm not so talented in everything, but I like to work hard and dig hard. So
yes, good. Well, Yanni, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us and those listening and watching. Where can people find you if they want to reach out, whether they want to come to Finland to train or reach out to you for questions?
They can reach out to us at our Instagram, Entiset Lupaukset. So it's a hard name, but it's a former prospect in English. So they can reach out there. Or then, of course, in the IFK Helsinki website. So there is my contact. So Helsinki IFK is my employee. So there. And we're going to have a summer camp in Finland next summer. So the details are coming after the new year. So.
Perfect. And I'll link your Instagram and your website to the show notes so that people can come find you. Well, Yanni, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. Enjoy your evening. Enjoy your time with your brand new baby and being a dad. And I hopefully can get over to Finland, or you can come over here and we should coach together sometime again.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.